Good evening, everybody. Thanks for coming out. It's very kind of you. First, an apology. A lot of what I'm going to say tonight is quite personal to me, but I believe it also holds a challenge for the church, not just this church, but the church in this country. You may agree with me, or you may not agree with me, but if you don't agree with me, I just ask that please don't stone me, because my pain threshold isn't very good, really. So, yeah. When I became a Christian, I thought, what difference is this going to make in my life? Can I really be forgiven for my past sin? Does God really love me? Can I really make a difference for his kingdom? Where will this new Christian life lead me, and how will I make the right decisions? What will my friends and my family think? That's a big thing, isn't it, when you become a Christian, friends and family. And I guess these are thoughts that some of you here have probably had in the past as well, when you've given your life to the Lord. Now, over 30 years later, I can look back and see the difference that being a man of faith and a follower of Jesus Christ has made, because it has made a difference to me. And as I consider the various stages of my life, I think I can pinpoint several things that had happened and realize that although I didn't recognize it at the time, then God was in control. I'll just share a few things briefly. Those of you that have known us for a long time will have an awareness of things that I'm going to say. But the first one was this, that really changed my life. It was meeting and marrying Anona. And if I hadn't met Anona, I might never have met Jesus. That's the honest truth. What would my life have been like without Anona and Jesus? The answer is, thankfully, I'll never know. Another thing is making big mistakes in my life and going through real low points in my life. How would I ever have come out the other side of those again without Anona, who was such a support to me, and Jesus, because when I look back, Jesus walked with me all through the problems that I had. And again, I'll never know what life would have been like if they hadn't both have been there. And incidentally, included in that, I would have to say, Welton Baptist Church, who were very supportive to me when I needed it. Another time was, how would I have coped when Anona was diagnosed with a brain tumour? How could I have coped without Jesus and without the way that Anona coped with her condition? And actually is still coping with her condition. And again, I have to say a thank you to this church for walking with us in that situation also. And then God called Anona and I to go and live and work in Uganda for 3 years. How was that going to happen? And how are we going to cope with that? Because we didn't know really when we went. And again, Jesus was the answer, because I don't believe that God calls us to do anything that he doesn't provide the means for us to do it. And so, again, I have to say Jesus was in that situation. And so were Welton Baptist Church. So thank you all very much. And of course, our Uganda adventure continues, and God still amazes us in our ministry there. And we're very pleased that he is there, I can tell you. So there are constants that I've had in my life as a Christian. One being Anona, who's walked with me through my walk of faith. There has been Jesus, who is ever present. And of course, Welton Baptist Church. You know, it just goes to prove the strength of fellowship when you're in a church such as this. So it was a case for us as husband and wife in partnership with Jesus. And actually, whether you're married or not, even if you're single, I believe you need to walk with somebody in your walk of faith. I really believe that, because it brings a real strength to your faith. But you might say, it's all very well looking at the past, but what about now? What about the future? And that's a good question, because I guess that it's true to say that for me, since we returned back from Uganda nearly 3 years ago, I've struggled a bit with church. And I'm not sure in church where I fit in. I'm not really sure what God is calling me to do, other than I believe he's telling me to remain fluid and just to keep listening to him and do what he's calling me to do. And so I always have this question hanging over me, and it's this: where am I going? What is next for me, for us, actually, because we minister together, really. And I don't think this question applies just to me, because I believe that the church in this country needs to ask themselves the same question. Where are we going? Now, you may not agree with that, or you may agree with that, but, you know, I believe the church needs to take a long, hard look at itself. Not necessarily this church, although we always need to do that, don't we? But the church in the UK. Because to all outward appearances, this country is not doing too well. You can read about it daily in the papers, look at it on the news, on TV. But we're split down the middle regarding Brexit, so there's no unity there then. We're faced with a growing terrorist threat. There's a possibility, even in the future, of a breakup of the UK. And people outside of the church hang on to the utterances of minor celebrities rather than hanging on to the Word of God. And I could go on. You could name other things that I think we could see wrong in our society. And I ask myself, what is the response of the church to all of this? And the answer that I could come up with was, not a lot. As church in this country, we don't seem to be meeting these things head on. We get a bad press for all the wrong reasons, don't we? Division over the ordination of female bishops in the Anglican Communion. Division over the matter of gay priests. Investigations over paedophilia in the church. In the eyes of many people, the church has become irrelevant and no longer fits in today's society. And sadly, according to me, so you can disagree with me, but according to me, the church has allowed this to happen. But you know, it needn't be like this. This country needs good news. And the news it needs is about Jesus. And we have this news. Each one of us in this room has this good news about Jesus. But one of my questions regarding the church in this country is this: where is the prophetic voice of the church in this country? Who is calling the country back to repentance and a relationship with God? And yet, I don't know the answer. But I never hear these things happening publicly. You never read about them in the media. So perhaps they are happening somewhere, but I'm not aware of them. But it could be that maybe the church has become too introverted. But don't misunderstand me here, because I believe there are good churches and good church leaders in this country. People who like to get the name of Jesus out there. But there are also many churches who are stagnating, I believe, and who will eventually die. You can go into some smaller churches and they have elderly congregations, and you just think, what is going to happen here? But we can't allow these churches to die. Because the church is the body of Christ. Is that true? The church is the body of Christ. And it needs to be alive and it needs to be active. Whether it's a church of older people or not. I think I'm right in saying in many years past, this church was kept alive by faithful elderly people praying for new blood to come. And that's what we perhaps should encourage with some of those smaller churches around us. Encourage them to pray so not only may their doors be kept open, but they can become an active and vibrant church. Because I would say, you know, those people, those few people that prayed for this fellowship, if they were to look on now, they would see that it's an active and a vibrant church. Amen. This country needs the sovereign touch of God upon it. And it's us, that is the church, that needs to rise up and proclaim this truth. This country needs to come to repentance. Would you agree with that? It's what our country needs. But first, I think we need to bring revival into the church. We need to revive, or God needs to revive, what is already there. A people that somehow have grown apathetic in lots of places. Their spirit needs to be revived and they need to just rekindle the fire they once had for Jesus. So how are we going to do that? Let's read, I got to the reading, you'll be pleased to know. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. So it's not a long reading. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. I'll read that again. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. I think that's a fantastic verse of scripture. For the people of Jeremiah's time and culture, the ancient paths were those walked by Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, David, all those heroes of the faith. These were people who trusted God. These were people who walked with God. Yes, they all had their human failings, as we do. But they were the great heroes of faith. And we still like to read about them and see the great things they did. But we need to realize also that we can do the great things that they did if we have the same God behind us, which we do. In particular, Jeremiah was calling Judah to repent and return to the God of their forefathers. He was warning of impending disaster if they didn't. And of course, they rejected his message, preferring to listen to those false prophets who pronounced, for want of a better phrase, peace in our time. And I guess there are one or two here can remember that phrase being spoken. I bet you can, Philip. Peace in our time. Peace, peace, where there is no peace. But what does it mean for us? Their ancient paths were following those great heroes of the faith. But I believe our ancient paths are rooted in the Gospels, in the good news of Jesus and the life he calls us to lead. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." And I think we all have to think, which road am I on? I think we all like to think we're on the narrow road, but sometimes we have to search inside of ourselves just to make sure where we are, which road we are on. Generally, I feel that popular culture has taken hold of parts of the church and is leading it down the wrong road. Jesus says we should be looking for the narrow path, the path that leads to life. And in his words, he said he came to bring us life in all its fullness. We won't find that life in all its fullness going down that broad road to destruction. We will only find it on the narrow road. So this is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. I believe the church in the UK is at a crossroads. There was a report commissioned by the Evangelical Alliance in 2015, and part of it says this. The research showed that 57% of people in England call themselves Christians. And one in five of those who don't is open to finding out more about Jesus after hearing Christians talk to them about their faith. Well, that's interesting. However, just 9% of those Christians would be described as practicing, reporting regularly praying, reading the Bible, and attending church at least once a month. So you're a practicing Christian if you come to church once a month, is what it was saying. That doesn't ring well with me, I must admit. In real terms, it's reckoned that only 5% of this population are born again practicing Christians. And this is from a country that 2 years ago David Cameron described as a Christian country. And I would submit to you that this country is not a Christian country. 5% of us would like it to be, but we have a long way to go to convince the rest, don't we? There's a lot of work to be doing. And so what this verse in Jeremiah is telling us, firstly, is to listen to God. It says, this is what the Lord says. It's not what Jeremiah says. It's not what Dave Banks says. It's what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads. So we need to stand. This means we need to stop and reflect on what we're doing. All of us. And I need to do this. Yes, I'm involved in ministry in Uganda, But I also have a heart for people here, in this country, in this area. As a church at Welton, we do many good things. We share God's love through who we are and the things that we do. You know, things such as Enfest. Some are involved in the food bank. Some are involved in street pastors. We have Alpha. We get involved in churches together, events, etc., etc., etc. We could go on. And these are all good things. They're all laudable things. But what more could we do? And, what about those spiritual gifts? What about things such as prophecy and healing and miracles and words of knowledge and so on and so on? These things are all part of the full gospel that Jesus calls us to. And I had this funny thought. I thought, if we really allowed the Holy Spirit free rein in this church, and we were to use all those gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us in this church, then people would hear about it. If people heard about healings, if people heard about miracles and all these other things, I think they would fill this place. People would come, because I think people think of the church as quite wishy-washy, doing a few good things, but if they were to see a powerful God in action, I believe our churches would be full. Amen? Just think of the Welsh Revival, 1904. You know, they had concerted prayer in just one chapel there. They allowed the Holy Spirit in. And mayhem resulted. Well, we would call it mayhem. Actually, God was in control. People were healed. So many people gave up drinking that many of the pubs closed. I'm not sure if that's a good thing, really. But but people were healed. There were miracles carried out. And many people came to know Jesus for the first time. And that was just a wonderful thing that happened. So there was a movement of the Spirit and also a use of the gifts of the Spirit. And I believe that's a road that God would want us to go down. So we need to stand. But Jeremiah says we need to look. We need to see what God is doing. We need to look and see what needs doing. And I'm finding this difficult, really. Maybe I'm not close enough to God to see what he's calling me to here. But I know that I'll keep on seeking him. We need to try and look at different situations, different places, through God's eyes. And that isn't easy to do. And we've really got to be able to put ourselves out to be able to do it. We have to ask ourselves, do we need to put on another social event to show people the love of God? Or do we need to demonstrate kingdom power to them? God wants to use us as church. He wants to use the church in the UK as church, the body of Christ. He wants to use us to do his work. That's why he gives us gifts, and that's why he expects us to use them. So we need to stand and look. We need to ask. It says, ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Asking means seeking direction, and it means seeking guidance. And for me, this is not a one-off ask. It's a daily thing I need to do. If we are uncomfortable with what God is calling us to do, if we feel that we're not equipped to do what God wants us to do, then we need to ask him to help us, to show us, to equip us. Do you agree? So we need to stand and look and ask. And then God says, ask where the good way is and walk in it. So when we've stopped to reflect, when we've looked through the eyes of faith to see what God wants us to do, when we have sought his direction and guidance, then we need to do something. We need to act on what he's saying to us. And sometimes that's difficult as well. It's not easy for us to change the habits of a lifetime, but sometimes we have to do that. I'm trying to walk in his ways, but it's so difficult. Sometimes it seems impossibly difficult, but sometimes it can be so rewarding also. And in my own personal circumstance, how can I go where he sends me? And how can I do what he calls me to do when an owner has the condition that she has? Well, God knows that as well. And I think we both agree all the time that if God's calling us to do something or me to do something, then we know that an owner will be cared for. That's our personal situation. But as a church, maybe we need to stand and look and ask. We need to discern God's will for us going forwards and then walk in that will. For us, the ancient paths are the ones Jesus walked down. He says in John 5:19 that he only did what he saw his Father doing. Jesus loved people. He ate with sinners. He comforted the people. And these are all good things. But the gospel, well, the gospel I read says he also healed them. He spoke into their lives. He performed miracles. He prophesied and demonstrated the power of the kingdom of God to them. And I believe he calls us to do the same. Now, if you read in John 14, Jesus said to his disciples, you will do the same things you've seen me doing. Isn't that marvellous? But then he goes on even further. He says, in fact, you will do even greater things than these because I'm going to my Father. We might say that was just for those times. But that would be taking away the responsibility we have to follow Jesus. Because I believe that if we call ourselves disciples of Jesus, then we can do those things as well. It's what Jesus said in his word, and it's what I believe. The promise of God is that when we have walked the path he calls us down, then we will find rest for our souls. A job well done deserves good rest, in my book. And that's a promise God gives us. So I just want to finish. The church is at a crossroads because I believe our country is at a crossroads. Amen? I also think this church is at a crossroads. And not just because we're going to have a new pastor in a month, good though that is, but I believe God is telling me that we are at a crossroads. And personally, I am at a crossroads. So many ways to go, so many choices to make, and I need to choose the right one. And I think that would apply to each of us if we were to really stop and think about our walk of faith. But what I pray is that we all find ourselves on the same path, because there is only one path, the narrow path, and I pray that we'll all walk it together. And if we do, I believe our communities can change. I believe our country can change. And actually, I believe we can change as well for the better. And God knows we need it. Amen? Let's pray. Father, sometimes we can go along our walk of faith, and even if we're on the right path, we can get stuck in a rut, just doing the same thing day in, day out, week in, week out. And Lord, sometimes you're calling us to just do something different. Sometimes you're calling us to just make a real stand for you, rather than just be somebody who is saved. We want to be a people who can be saved, but also full of life and energy to proclaim the name of Jesus, both in our communities and in our country. Your word says we need to stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths, ask where the good way is, and walk in it. There we will find rest for our souls. Father, I pray that each one of us as individuals, perhaps all of us as a church, and all the churches in this country, Lord, would just stop, consider what you're calling them to, ask how they're going to go forward, and then walk in the way that you set, Lord. We all need to be in your will and purpose. We all need to be in unity of purpose. We're talking about the church, Lord, the body of Christ, the bride of Christ. Help us to be alive and active in your service. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.